All right, thank you, Lord. Sunday morning, 3:24:24. Y'all don't laugh now. The title of this is The Spook House Spider. The Spook House Spider. And this is a teaching. You could say it was part two from last week, but we're going to do it this way. First of all, let's turn to Psalms 23. All week I've been saying, Spook House Spider. You know, you might as well make a joke out of it and try to walk through the places you're walking through at best you can, keep some humor in it. When you see something you don't want to see, you go, Spook House Spider. All right, Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So what is this talking about? It's going through Satan's spook house, and God is leading you, and he is preparing all these things, helping you to walk through and be unscathed. Let me look at it again. What did he say he does? He said, I won't want. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Restores my soul. Isn't that where all the problems are in the soul? He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It didn't say the valley of death. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff that comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies. Isn't there one part that says, Joshua, that they are bread for us? In other words, our enemies are bread for us. We will consume our enemies. They are bread for us. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All while we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. How is the spook house spider manifesting for you? Everyone's got their own experience. They all, their own things that they're seeing. Wouldn't you consider the valley of the shadow of death to be the same thing as the spook house spider? For those that maybe have not listened to this and know what that's about, I'll tell you what it's about. An episode of Last Man Standing. The little grandson went to the school spook house, and he walked through there, and there was this great big spider, and it I don't know if it shook or made some noise, and it scared him so bad he screamed and ran out. And later his grandfather took that spook house spider to his room and went inside, and he was starting to get all upset, and he said, I'm going to show you it's not real. Before you know it, the spook house spider is up there on the pillow with him when he's going to sleep. He had to find out it's just paper. You know, Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Any roar of the enemy is like a paper lion, right? It means to enforce fear. All right. False evidence appearing real, trying to get you from focusing on following the Good Shepherd. He is with us. He is leading us. He said to follow me, didn't he? Didn't we do a study on that with all the follow me's? Follow me? Quit. Don't be distracted. Follow me. This is the valley of the shadow of death. Ah, the spider. Ah, a roaring lion. He said, follow me. I'm just right up ahead. He didn't leave us out there by ourselves. We're not fending for ourselves. We're not walking this alone. He knows just how much you can take. The Lord has to remind me constantly, you do know this is training, right? Yes, sir. That spider looks really mean today. It's got another hairy leg it didn't have yesterday. Let's put this in perspective. All right. Just like Miyagi trained Daniel to be a champion in karate, so are we being trained to be in God's army and keeping the devil under our feet. Colossians 2:15, we'll read it, said Jesus already whipped him. Colossians 2:15, we have to be reminded. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So he whipped the devil. What's the problem? We have to enforce it. We have to believe by faith that what God's word says about us is true, not what the spook house spider is screaming at us. Not what the valley of the shadow of death is screaming at us, the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Okay. The spook house spider has been defeated in your life because Jesus did it, but we must enforce it in our situation. Shadow here means a shade of death. A shade of death. Not death, a shade of death. Feels like you're going to die, but you're not. Right? Here's Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary. Shadow. To overspread with obscurity. You don't see the whole picture. You see that spider, but you don't see God's promises. To overspread with darkness or obscurity, to shelter or to hide. You see the spook house spider instead of God's word, God's provision, what God has done. Instead of seeing yourself well, you see yourself how the enemy's presenting you to be. And he's a liar, right? You remember that? He's the father of lies. He couldn't tell the truth for anything because the truth is not in him. You know, when fear comes against you, you know who it is. That's always your gauge to who this is. Who's knocking at my door trying to get my attention? Fear. If it brings peace, you know who's at your door. The Prince of Peace. Real simple. All right, do you trust the Good Shepherd? Do you think that he will lead you down a wrong path? Mm-mm. It's kind of like, Lord, don't you know what I'm going through? He knows exactly what you're going through. This is training. When the training's over, the situation will be over. Or the training technique will be over. We have to not look at it like this is eternal. No, this is temporal. This momentary light affliction, Paul said, it's for a moment. We need to quit looking at it like this is forever and it will never quit. It will never stop. It will never end. I was talking to Danny about a certain minister that ministered to all the, especially the young women in the church way back. And she was a prayer warrior, and she did so many things for so many people. And I got to thinking about it. But then I were thinking, you know, she really didn't have any help. And she ended up doing something drastic. I believe she's in heaven. I'm not going to mention her name. But I thought, I can see where she was just so burdened down. I remember a friend of mine going through a marriage situation, and she went and stayed with her, and she said, she stayed with her for 3 days, I think, and this lady just stayed up and prayed for a day and night, and she said, the only thing that I see that's not right here is she carries the burden. She's carrying the burden. You can't carry the burden. And you can see why she did the drastic thing that she did. I hate it. And I'm thinking, Lord, tell her thank you for everything that she did for us. All the prayers she prayed for us. People don't get it. They don't understand. I'll tell you what, it's those intercessors and prayer warriors that stand in the gap. They're the ones paying the price. They are. They're the ones that are seeing the real heat of the battle. We need someone praying for the intercessors, you know, for sure. All right, let's keep going here. Let's look at Psalms 119. Verse 105. You might want to consider this one. It's a good one. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We may feel like on this, in this valley of shadow of death, that we're alone. But what brings the light? His word. Remembering his word. Right here, let me look at the lamp here. Means to glisten or to glisten or to light. It puts light on the situation instead of just feeling like just darkness. Like there's no light at the end of the tunnel. I'm here to tell you today that it is all in your mind. Just like the little boy and the spook house spider, when he saw that it was fake, then he was no longer afraid. This is how Jesus did his ministry with some of the infirm people. They had to have a focus. They had to have the right focus to even respond to Jesus' ministry. I'll tell this on myself. For about 6 months, I've been going through a difficult thing. And, you know, you pray and you pray and do everything you know to try to get on top of it. And anyway, on a certain part of my body, I'd roll over onto a certain part of my body and I would wake up in pain. And I just, you know, it was just difficult. And I'd get up in the chair and think, you know, oh, what am I going to do here? Anyway, this last week, you know, I was asking the Lord, where am I shying back? He said, well, that area, you're shying back. Instead of facing your Goliath, you get in the chair or you try to stay on this side instead of that side or whatever. I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to take you at your word. And I started singing that, I'm not healed because I see it. I'm not healed because I feel it. I'm healed because I believe it. I believe the word of the Lord. Well, right before I went to bed, I heard these words. Then lay on it. I thought, you got to be kidding. I did, and I've been doing that for a week. No pain. Pain is a thought. I heard Kenneth Copeland say that myself in a meeting. Pain is a thinking process. Did Jesus take our infirmities and bear our sicknesses? So think about this. here Jesus is walking along. And there's a guy down there, infirm. Oh, get up and walk. He's thinking, don't you know I can't walk? In the Chosen, I like the guy that plays Jesus, because he said, he gets down there by him, he goes, get up and walk. The guy's like, you've got to be out of your ever-loving mind. But he gets up. The man at the pool. He said, take up your bed and walk. What did he do? Jumped up before he knew he couldn't do it. Because he can do it. I venture to say today, we could go to the hospital and every person there, I don't care what they're diagnosed with, if you could say, rise up and walk. Don't think about that anymore. You're well. You know why I could say that? You know why Jesus could say that? Because it was true. Because he's the one that took it. He took the real deal. See, what people do is a spook house spider shows up. And they get scared. And they believe the symptom over they believe God's provision. But the fact is, it's already done, and it's not even the person that's ministering the word. It's God's word. It's a fact. So the spider can't terrorize you anymore when you, okay, well, act like it. That's all Jesus did. He went around. He didn't do anything independent, it says. He said, the Father tells me what to do and I do it. Oh, he's the Son of God. Yes, he was. But it says he didn't walk independently. He didn't venture out to try to heal people on his own. No, the Father said, well, speak this to him. If you can get him to believe you, he'll rise up. I challenge you today. See, we let the pain and all this stuff dictate how we act and what we do. Is that faith's corresponding action? Absolutely not. It's not. It's fear's corresponding action. See, the pain is a thinking process to get you to act or react. Either you believe it or not. All right. Let's just read some of these. Mark 5. I'll start with 21 there. If you look at it, this was Jesus' ministry right here. Everywhere he went. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. Behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, and she may be healed, and she shall live. Jesus said, the Father in me doeth the works. He didn't say, I'm doing the works. He said, the Father in me is doing the works. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things and many physicians and had spent all that she had, was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. And for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? He didn't even touch her. The power of the Holy Ghost, just faith, just drew it out of him. The Holy Spirit. And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that was done, and had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and behold thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. It's just a spook house spider. No, he didn't say that. That's the Carnal Love version. And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of Jesus. I remember when I went to Ohio, I was in the bathroom after the service, and this young woman comes in and she goes, I love that part where you talked about Prego sauce, because I said, it's in there. She said, I get that. You know, you got to speak where people get you. I mean, the jingle generation. We grew up on commercials and all that kind of stuff, you know. People just, movies. I think that's why the Lord lets me use movie analogies a lot, just simply because people get that. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth them torment, and them that wept and wailed greatly. When he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and he entered in where the damsel was lying, and he took the damsel by the hand, and saith unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment, and he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. In other words, you treat her well. You start coddling her. What, baby, you been sick? She'd lapse and die again. Get up and act. Send her outside to swing or something, you know. Let her act like a kid. Give her something to eat. Well, people eat. Faith corresponding action. Acting like you are well. Not letting the giant get in your face with whatever cause you to run for the foxhole. Well, I better do this. I better do that. Pitiful or powerful, but you can't be both. Is this helping anybody today? All right. We're going to read a few more here. This is John 5. Verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had been and had an infirmity 38 years. That's a long time. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man said, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but when I am coming, another steppeth down before me. And Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked, and the same day was the Sabbath. Back over here, verse 14. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and saith unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Where was he sinning? Right here. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. He was just going on and on. Well, you know, I come to the water, or I lay here, they bring me to the water, and everybody steps in before I can get down there. You can develop, you know, people that are chronically sick develop this poor me, I can't. You know what I'm saying? And the medical system doesn't help that, because they cater to that, make some money. Just like the one with the issue of blood. She had spent all her living on physicians, and she was no better, but grew worse. All right, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Everything I've said today is kind of about that, especially the part about, you know, traveling at the thought of traveling at the speed of thought. To operate the kingdom, we're going to have thoughts right thoughts to do so. Not just in, you know, getting places, but also healing and anything else. Okay, Acts chapter 3. So all week I've been saying, spook house spider. It's better than driving you nuts, isn't it? I think in the Amplified it says, be well balanced. Talking about your mind, be well balanced. Yeah. All right. Verse 1, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried him. They lay daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seen Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. He gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by his right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he was leaping. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Just think about, you know, all the massive programs for veterans and different things of people that have lost limbs and different things has happened to them that they can no longer be viable in society. Just think about being able to walk up to them and say, well, rise up and walk. A new limb grows out. Or what? Walking and leaping and praising God. Oh, Lord, help us today. All right, Isaiah 53. You know the reason that pain can be a thought now? Let me just give you this scripture. You can think about this one. Isaiah 53. Because the weapon of our warfare isn't carnal. What is it? It's mighty through God to pulling down the strongholds, casting down every thought and every lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That's what the enemy brings. Thoughts. Warfare are thoughts. All right. 53. Let me see what. 4 and 5. Surely hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, but he's wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes I was healed. I'm not finding the word that I wanted. I thought I had the one. What I'm looking at, maybe it's in the Amplified Version, about pains. Where is that?
The word did I? Sorrows in the Hebrew, the literal word is pain.
Okay, well, that's the point I'm trying to make. He took our pain. So if he took our pain, now the devil will use it as a thought against us, but Jesus already bore that. So he took pain and sickness. All right. All right. Matthew 8. When the evening was was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses. So what are we dealing with? Spook house spider. Do you figure in the shadow valley, the shadow of death, there's shadows, right? People have died from shadows.
Sure have.
They have died from the shadow of death. You can convince yourself of that. You know. 1 Peter 2:24. You know what? There ought to be people, there ought to be billions of people here today. I said, Lord, why would they rather trust in a system that has stolen them blind? I don't know. Who his own self bare my sins in his own body on the tree, that I, being dead to sin, shall live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. I like this part. For you were a sheep going astray, but now are you returning to the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Who are we following in the valley of the shadows? The good shepherd. You've been led astray in your thinking. Okay, Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance. Things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Right here, faith is persuasion. In a nutshell, persuasion. In other words, I believe you. I believe you, Lord. I believe your word. Most would rather believe the shadow, the pain or whatever, over what the word already says. No, you're healed. You don't have to put up with that. Oh, but you just don't understand. I can't. I know Brother Hagin, he prayed, I can't remember how many people. There were several people in wheelchairs, and he prayed for all of them. All of them got up and walked off except one woman. How come they got to and she didn't? He tried to talk to her later. She got her hearing restored, but she couldn't believe for the other. She said, no, I don't need that. Got up out of wheelchairs and walked off. Because they believed they could before they believed they couldn't. Their faith rose up and said, yeah, you can. All right. Hebrews 11 is the faith hall of fame, but I submit to you today that it is also the valley of the shadow of death. Through faith, they subdued kingdoms. Through faith, they did this. By faith, they did that. You can't say they didn't have any shadows, because they did. Every single one of them, if you read it, you will go down the line and you can pick them out. Three Hebrew children, they had to go in the fire. Daniel had to spend all night with the lions. All right, we're looking for substance, aren't we? Substance is assurance and confidence. The substance of things hoped for. Assurance and confidence. Your assurance and confidence is your substance. All right. God already knows it's true, and he just wants you to agree with him that it is. You're not waiting on God to do anything. He's already done it all on Jesus. Your sin, your pain, your healing, your provision. All right. We're just going to read a couple of more things. All the devil plays on you are mind games. Mind games. That's it. All right, two scriptures. I quoted one of them. We'll read it, though. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. I'm in first, sorry. For though, verse 3, we walk in the flesh. See, people are trying to do their warfare in the flesh, and it's not working. It doesn't work. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. And you know what? The Lord has done this for several years now, where He won't let me get by with trying to do a little something else to make it better in the flesh. Just like I said, go lay on that spot that you're avoiding all the time. Spooky old spider. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, which is flesh, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You call the bluff, right? Casting down imaginations. That's your thoughts. And every high thing. See, the enemy wants to make the symptoms or whatever circumstances bigger than God. Bigger than the answer. Every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. What is the devil always trying to do? Exalt himself over God. Dun-t, dun-t. His goal is to break through the firmament, and his people think they're going to go with him, but he's saying, I conned you too. No, he's trying to get up there, and he's going to overthrow God and sit on the throne. That's his desire, because that's where he was kicked out of. So he thought, well, I'll just do it to his people. Keep them from sitting on the throne, you know, with him. Aren't we seated with him in heavenly places? That exalts itself against the knowledge of God. This is all about the devil exalting himself over God's knowledge. Well, I know more than you do. I know more than God. Hath God said? He's been playing this game a long time, and he's really good at it. Against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought with the obedience of Christ. So what's the truth? The opposite. False evidence appearing real. Okay, Ephesians 6, kind of the same thing. It's a stand. Absolutely and totally a stand. You know the little deal where it shows the little cat? It says when you come to the end of your rope, tie a knot and hang on. All right, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. See, when you engage the Word and you believe God, what He says over what you're experiencing, just like with Goliath, David and Goliath, right here. It's in the power of His might that you stand, not your own. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. In other words, you're going to make your stand, and you're going to continue to stand until you have submitted to God, you've resisted the devil, and he's fled from you. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. How many? All. Who'll be able? You. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That brings us back to Romans 8, 26 through 20, that whole chapter. Well, we'll read that. Because, it's the same thing as Ephesians, I think, right here. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with us also freely give us all things? This is that stand. It's a spiritual stand. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. See, when we do these things, we are not just us. We're engaging the whole enchilada. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, and all these things are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In other words, we're assured victory. He's already won the victory for us. If we won't relax and faint in our minds. I think Danny, this is one of his things that he said Lord gave him, was faith is a stand that outlasts the devil. Talking about the Spook House Spider, that's the name of that TV series, Last Man Standing. Last Man Standing. The flesh is not the answer, but engaging in the Spirit is. The devil is defeated, and he is the Spook House Spider. Okay.